So glad to be with you, everyone, this morning once again, and just it's beautiful when God's people come together and we pray and we worship and we do life together. And this morning, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, for me, it's over 30 years coming to this point from when I was called into ministry. So thank you for being a part of my story, as I'm a part of New Life's story now, and looking forward to the years and years ahead. You're stuck with me. Cammy already signed up, so you the same way I signed up and said yes, you said yes as well. So it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. So we're in this series called Moving Forward, Thriving During the Transitions of Life, During the Changes of Life. As we talked about, change is something no one likes unless it's their idea. And then half the time, once we get halfway through it, we didn't like the idea we had. So life is full of change, whether it be a job change, a move, a passing, a adding, a birth. Just life is full of change. And sometimes we'll say, well, I can just grin and bear it and get through it. Well, have you ever noticed people are pretty stressed out in our world? I think so it is because we're thinking, well, someday I won't have to deal with change. That won't happen until we're on the other side with Jesus, because life is full of transitions. So how can we go from dreading transitions to thriving in and through them? It's all about our focus. And our focus in this whole series has been pointing us back to this Jesus conversation. So we've been looking at Joshua 1, chapter 1 through chapter 5. And over this time, we've looked at a few principles. One of the principles is God is for you and not against you. He loves you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. So he wants to help move you towards him to become more like who he's created you to be. Another one is that we're called to value our history, ours personally and those who came before us. Last week we spoke about being strong and courageous in the Lord, not in our last names or our bank accounts, where we go to church, our job, our titles, but in Christ. We also talked about how God provides friends and family to come alongside us to help and bless us and encourage us as we go into our new seasons, as Jeff did this morning. Though he is not here locally with us every week, Jeff is family in the body of Christ. We spoke about last week as well, don't pre-qualify the friends and family God might bring into your life by how they look, what you think they should be. Also, don't pre-qualify yourself. That some of you might be saying, God can't use me because of my story, because of my history, because of the things I've done. Please don't do that. Every saint has a story, and every sinner has a future with Jesus. Don't pre-qualify yourself. If you're like, man, I need to process that, please reach out to the office. Talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to one of the elders' wives. Talk to a deacon that know how to deke. Process with somebody. We want to do life together. So today we're going to jump into Joshua chapter 3. And the first principle, don't worry, we're not going to read all chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Joshua. We're just going to grab a few things out of this. A few principles to help us on our journey to thriving during change. First principle, follow the presence of God. It's the most important thing to thrive in life, whether it be in times of transition or times when you're in the promised land, or times when you're just waiting. Follow the presence of God. He'll see you through. Joshua 3:3-4. And they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. That's following the presence. The ark of the covenant is where the presence of God resided at that time. But follow the presence. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. So I'm just a cowboy from Western Nebraska. A cubit, what is that? I remember a GameCube back when I was a kid, like a game system, but a cubit, what's a cubit? I did some math on that. So it's a little over half a mile in distance between the Ark of the Covenant and where they were supposed to be following after. And there's a reason for this. As it continues, do not come near it, that you may know that the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. We've never been here before, New Life Church. We need to be led by the presence of God, not by our assumptions of what God's going to do or presumptions of what he's going to do. I have two amazing children, and generally they listen pretty well, but sometimes they assume what I'm going to do next. Or they try to manipulate me a little bit, and that's what happens with presumption and assumption with God. We try to get him to do our bidding. So I'll come home, and it's about lunchtime, and I'll be like, well, we're going to go to McDonald's, right, Dad? Because you've got the car, we don't want to have you make food. It's like, it would be great to go to McDonald's, Dad. It's a good idea to go to McDonald's. They just assumed and presumed what I was going to do. We don't want to do that with God in this season. We want to be, in a word, walking in wonder of where he's taking us. Can we have some wonder? And what that means is that we are surprised by what God's doing instead of second guessing him. That's following the presence. Psalms 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Our steps are ordered by the Lord, and we want to follow after him, but we're human, right? Everyone raise your hand. You're human. I'm human. We're not perfect yet. Cammie's really close, but she still fails every once in a while. What does that mean? That means that our steps are ordered by God, but as you're following after him with a sense of wonder, sometimes we might miss it in life. Have you ever missed it in life, even though you're trying to follow after Jesus? What's amazing with that is that there is a grace. Though we fall, we will not utterly be cast down. In football, years ago, we were taught to fall forward when you had the ball. That means even if you're falling, you're going forward with the football. You're gaining ground. In our lives, fall forward with Jesus. Be focused on him. And he will smile and he will help you. Sometimes we'll say, I don't want to go forward because I'm scared I'm going to miss it. I just don't want to miss it. I think that's a tactic of the devil to get us to be in apathy and a stalemate. God loves it when we seek after his face and run towards his presence. Because fear will tell us, what if it doesn't work? Fear says, what if it doesn't work? But faith speaks, what if it does? Could we be a people that says, what if it does work? If we're leaning towards the presence of God, what he's speaking to us as a body, as leaders, what if it works? What if? What if? The question for each one of us is, who or what will we choose to follow today? Will we follow the presence of God, of Jesus in our life? Or are we going to follow our fears, our flesh, our pride, or our lusts? 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We all have to deal with the flesh, lusts, and pride. Doesn't matter what age you are, you're going to deal with it. You are not immune from that. That's why it says in the word that we should put on Christ daily and follow him. It's because we have to deal with that and walk towards him. The goal is to abide with the Father at all times. It's all about your following Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So let me ask you a question this morning. Jeff read my notes, I think, beforehand, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit, but we were talking about followership. How's your followership to get today? How's your followership of Jesus today? Not what you're doing, but your true followership of his presence in your life. The Good Shepherd. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know the voice of the Father in your life? The stirring, even worship. Could you tell that there was a presence here, and the presence of the Lord? And he was whispering, I think, to some of our hearts. If you've never experienced it before, maybe you did this morning for the first time. You say, what is this? It's weird. That's okay. It's supposed to be weird to the flesh. That's normal. But I would encourage you at the end of service today, when we have some altar time, come up to one of those people at the altar and talk to them about that. You can be like, it was weird today. I don't know what was going on. We'd love to introduce you to walking in the presence of God in a deeper way. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Lucas says, daily do this. It's about our followership. There's an old Jewish blessing. It goes this way. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. What does that mean? That if you're following after your rabbi, your teacher, close enough that the dust will fall on you. That means that you are following his teachings and imitating him so closely. Is the dust of Christ on you this morning? That you're following after him that closely, that his dust is falling upon you? I know I want that in my life. A few sub-points to go along with this would be, we're set apart with a purpose. The word there would be sanctified, set apart. We are not of this world. We are called to be salt and light in it. Joshua 3:5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. There's that word again, wonders. You don't have wonder if you know what's going to happen. God's going to do something mighty. We just need to step back and watch. When we set ourselves apart, we choose Jesus over the things of this world, over the flesh, over our desires, over everything, then God can work in and through our lives in powerful ways. Now, God can do what he wants because he is sovereign. He is God over all. And we can see in scriptures that God can use anything and everything. But I believe God wants sons and daughters who know his heart, that he doesn't have to force your hand, but we willingly say, God, use me for your glory. That's followership. God could use Pharaoh. Pharaoh was not a follower of God, but he used him. I think so. This is how before. God's going to use me if he wants. And you're wondering why there's not miracles in your life. Be a man or woman, son or daughter that chooses Jesus. I want to be close to you. I want to follow after you. I want to be used by you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, not in what the world would tell us, not in what we think we should be, but in Christ Jesus. What is he leading you into? That God prepared good works beforehand that you should walk in them. God's not surprised by today. Virgil Lee, senior pastor, installed. By the way, how many, installed is a fun word because I'm like, am I a light bulb? How many elders does it take to screw in a senior pastor? Man, that joke did not work in either campus. That's good. We have unity right now. Virgil is a bad guy with jokes, so. But you have unique purpose created by God to do. To walk those out in your life. To step into the supernatural, you have to step out of your comfort zone to enter into the next season. That means you're always stepping out of something into something else. Now we can step towards Jesus and towards the supernatural living, or we can step towards the world and into the very natural living. Which one do you want? It's your choice. It's your choice. Joshua 3:12-17. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the whole time of harvest. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. At the Red Sea, they just held their peace, and Moses parted the Red Seas, and they walked over. In this instance, though, going into the promised land, sometimes when we want to walk into a deeper intimacy with the Lord, not just go into the desert where we're going, but into your promised land, you got to be willing to get your feet wet. Their feet had to dip in, and then it heaped up. There are no sure things in life but Jesus Christ. We're all looking for a sure thing in the stock market or in life. The only sure thing we have is Jesus Christ. Many times doing a very natural thing will lead to supernatural living. As they dip their feet into a river, God did something supernatural. Not because they chose to go that way. Notice it was during the harvest time and the river was really deep and really wide. We would choose to go during the dry season when it might be simpler. But that's not the way of God, is it? He likes us going sometimes in the most difficult times to do the most mighty things. Life is hard and we have to stay focused on Jesus because He is our overcomer. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Amen. In the world you will have joy all the time and happiness. No issues at all. Everyone's going to love you at work. The police officers will let you speed and not give you tickets. Listen to last week's message if you want to hear about that. No, it says you will have tribulation. You will have hard things happen. But be of good cheer. For tribulation, yes, why? I have overcome the world. Who? Jesus. Sometimes we get that out of order. We think, oh, I have overcome the world. No, Christ in you, the hope of glory, has overcome the world. We had a good conversation, Jeff and me, the other day about, we said in there, well, my gifts, it's not your gifts, it's His gifts bestowed upon you for His glory. It's not me overcoming, it's Christ in me overcoming when I submit to His will and His leading in my life. That's why we have to follow after His presence and not after our desires. So where does faith come from? Because faith is risky to the mind and hope is hazardous to the flesh. I'm going to say that again. Faith is risky to the mind and hope is hazardous to the flesh. So faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. So we need to spend time in God's Word, whether it be in book form or on a Bible app. We need to spend time in worship. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time with other believers talking about them. All those places help build and encourage faith to lean into what He's doing in our lives. Because stepping out in faith is scary to the flesh. It should not be easy for the flesh. I would say if it's easy for the flesh to step out in faith, it's not faith. In Romans, it says faith that is seen is not really hope. Hope that is seen is really not hope. So the flesh and the mind will never comprehend it. But 2 Timothy 1:7 puts it this way. God's not given you a spirit of fear or of intimidation or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. If you walk with Jesus, that's what you have in your life. You have access to those things, but you must choose. You still have a choice. I'll walk after fear. Or I will walk after the power of God in my life. I'll walk after the love of God in my life. I will have a sound mind. It says I have the mind of Christ. That's our choice. The next principle found in Joshua 4 is remember what the Lord has done in your life and the lives of others. So I'm going to summarize kind of what's going on in this portion of scripture just for time's sake because he repeats himself multiple times like a good preacher would. So God tells Joshua to find and appoint 12 men from the different 12 tribes of Israel. As they're crossing over to take up stones from in the midst of the Jordan where the priests were standing to build an altar of remembrance where they would stay that night. So when they walked through the Jordan and into the promised land, they were on dry ground during all of this. And it was the wet season. The riverbanks should have been overflowing, but it was dry. So think about this. Is not making sense to the natural mind, but God is doing something. So, a little interesting caveat here. If you read it in Joshua 4:8, Joshua actually looks like he sets up two altars. Scholars are divided on this. So, there might be two altars or there might be one. So, I'm going to explain this real quick. So, the first, there's two altars. One altar, Joshua set up in the middle of the Jordan. And the only time you could see it was during the dry season. And it was to help remind people of what the Lord had done. Which is kind of intriguing because God didn't do the miracle in the dry season, but He did in the really wet season. So you would think that's the time you'd be able to see it. So some scholars think He built one in the middle of the Jordan River, and then they built another one where they lodged that night. But most scholars believe that Joshua, this is where you get some of this followership that we're talking about, where Joshua actually picked, led by the Lord, to find these stones. By the way, these stones were about 100 pounds each. They were not light stones. To find the stones, and he took them and placed them by where the priests were at. And then the 12 men picked up the stones from where Joshua had placed them and took them to where they lodged that night. Do you see some of the spiritual authority going on? Joshua was led by the Spirit, found the stones, and then he empowered men to carry it out. Followership and followership. I would tend to like that narrative as I look through Scripture, where it was Joshua empowering people with the presence of God, what he was led to do. Joshua 4:18. Now it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, and the waters of Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. That's God just showing off, isn't it? That's the reason why he likes to do things in the most unopportune times in our minds. He is never on my time. In my timing, he's always late, but he's always on his time, and he's God, so he's always right on time. But it tends to always be in that final moment and hour things happen. Why? He wants to show off his power and his glory in our lives. So people say, huh, that's amazing. Let me tell you. So we have this moment to say, this is who our God is. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond whatever could think or imagine. Not because of our desires, but his desires that work in us. For what? For his glory. For his purposes in this world. The Lord is still looking to show up in powerful ways in our lives today. He's still looking to show up. Are we willing to say, God, show up in my life? 2 Corinthians 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Notice the qualifier. We want to say, God, show up strong in my life. But are we loyal to him? Are we loyal to him? Have you ever been around a bandwagon fan during football season or basketball season or hockey season? When the team's winning, man, you're all in. But when they start to lose, Are you a bandwagon fan when it comes down to Jesus? I know I've lived that way before. See, that's being foolish. We know we're called to be loyal to him, but we tend to be distracted by all the things of the world, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, what the flesh desires. Here's a thought. Just a thought. Take it or leave it. We might have chaos in our life because we're trying to follow Jesus on Sunday mornings and our desires the rest of the week. I'm going to say that again. We might have chaos in our life because we are trying to follow Jesus on Sunday mornings and our desires for the rest of the week. That's not being loyal. So what's the point of them carrying these stones and building this memorial altar? Joshua 4:21-24. They spoke to the children of Israel saying, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. Verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So the point to have this memorial altar built is for children and others of the world to ask, what is this? Why is this here? To beg the question. So they can then share, let me tell you a story about what our God has done. Or let me tell you a story about what my God has done, and maybe you would like to know him. That's sharing the gospel. Telling the story. So we don't have altars in our day and age, but we do have transformed hearts. And we're called to live out our walk with Jesus. Following Jesus, becoming more and more like Jesus. It's called discipleship. And when people come up and say, why do you live that way? What do you do when hard things happen? How can I have grace when there's no grace? We can tell them the story of Jesus and say, this is who he is. That's the altars that go with us. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Notice that with Ephesians? Good works prepared in advance for you to walk out. See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When people see how we live our lives, our attitudes, our joy, our peace, the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives, and the gifts that are bestowed in our lives, they need to point to Jesus and his glory, not ours. So then we can tell the story of who Christ is. We are called to remind and point those around us to what God has done in our lives, sharing it with our world and our children. Some of us sometimes might feel a little bit like that pre-qualification. I'm older. I have a story. I have a history. I don't have the funds. Fill in whatever blank. You're qualifying yourself out of God using you this morning. Joshua and Caleb were the two men who were part of the spy team that went into the promised land the first time. But they still invested in the next generation. The children. They led well. Let me tell you about the God that we serve. We are called and commissioned by the Holy Spirit to share the legacy of God's faithfulness and tell the world of God's love and make Christ famous. We are called and commissioned to do that as believers. So in conclusion, and a few final thoughts. Today is our Jordan crossing moment, church. We've crossed over the Jordan. We're on the other side. As I mentioned last week, we might use the word promised land, but promised land does not mean heaven here on earth. It means there are giants to fight. There are battles to be fought. But God's with us, and it's going to be good. It's going to be amazing. We are going to stand on the foundation of those who came before us, like Joshua did with Moses and with Abraham. We are going to continue moving forward for what God has. It's interesting how this installation Sunday as the next senior pastor coincided perfectly with this sermon series about crossing over. And this morning, wherever you find yourself, God is faithful. Whether you are in the desert, on the river's edge, or in the midst of it, or in your promised land, God is faithful. One of the best things you can do to thrive, not to survive during times like these, is to remember. Remember what the Lord has done in our lives, in the lives of others, the life of our church, and throughout Scripture. Remember his faithfulness through time. Because remembering and reflecting is a form of worship. I want you to catch that. Remembering and reflecting is a form of worship. It's a good thing. It's a form of gratitude and thanksgiving. So as a tangible way to remember new life crossing over into our next season as a church today, up here at the front, there's four baskets that's filled with these stones, these rocks. And Cammy and I, we purchased these. And I'm not saying, oh, look at this, we purchased these. But we purchased these for a purpose. Because we want to sow these into your eyes of life. Every person who wants to, come pick up a stone at the end of service after I pray. Because we want you to take this stone. I want you to place it somewhere. Kind of like that altar that was in Israel. And place it somewhere when people look at around your home or in your office. It can be a paperweight. I've got a couple in my office right now where people, what's this? Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Why do you have that rock there? Let me tell you a story. It's not just there for decoration, but it's a reminder of what God has done. Let it be a reminder of what God's faithfulness has done in our church over this past season and how he will be faithful into the future. to remind you to pray for New Life Church, for our body and for our leaders, to remind you to not give up on what you're praying for right now, whether it be a healing, a salvation, a job, or a dream. Whatever you need God to do to show up in your life, place it there so you'll be reminded God is still on the move, to stay loyal to Him. So I like symbolism, so I would have picked up a stone. Cammy doesn't like as much. She's like, why do I need a rock? But she makes notes and things like that that matter to her. So it's not a forced thing. You don't have to pick one of these up if you don't want to. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But we did want to give you an opportunity to take something tangible today that you can hold. I'd encourage you also to maybe take a Sharpie and maybe write something on it, a verse you're standing on, or just write New Life Church on it. I don't care. But really value this moment and remember. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you've been with us through the desert, through the waiting, through the rivers, through the seas. And now on the other side, you're going to be with us as we take this next season, this next chapter for your glory as a church. Lord, I pray for those of us that are individually in times of transitions, wherever that might look like, whether it be something with family or job or finances, God, I pray that you'll show up strong in their lives. For New Life Church, Lord, I pray that we'll continue just to be unified around your vision and purpose for this church. And God, we know you are with us. Help us to remember we are not alone. And Lord, I just continue to go back to that pre-qualification. So many in our world have pre-qualified themselves out of what God can do. Because if we look at ourselves through the mirror of what we see. But God, I pray for that individual today, whether it be online or in this room, that when they look in that mirror, they say, God can't use me. I'm so messed up. I've fallen so far from grace. Lord, I pray right now that you will awaken their heart and stir them, where they start hearing in their heart, you are loved. You are by a price not your own. You have hope and you have future in and through me. Just turn. Look at Jesus and not at yourself. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. You're not done yet. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.